Welcome to the WADT podcast. In today's digital world, it is not uncommon for someone to have hundreds or even thousands of friends on Facebook. But having so many online connections has not improved the quality of life for many. In fact, it has resulted in anxiety and depression for some, especially among the young. What is more important than the number of friends is the number of quality friendships you have. Today, Hafiz and I will be talking about the importance of making friends. Hi, my friend Hafiz. How are you doing?
Hi, friend. How are you? Are you friend, good friend, best friend?
I hope I'm a good friend to you. We need to have more time, coffee time with each other, all right? I guess most of the time when we meet online.
So yeah, that's a big problem with our friendship. You know, our friendship is revolve around this podcast. I think we should start from day zero when we have breakfast together. And we soon will have, you know, because, again, it was because of we are meeting a common friend. But, you know, we should have a one-on-one, maybe, you know, soon.
Yes, Seth, let's do that.
Yeah. So I thought this topic is very, very important. I think especially for men, right? For us, having friends is different from women. And I heard so much about this, right? And it must be true that when men especially have friends, physically, they don't like to talk to each other and face each other. They usually talk shoulder to shoulder. Different from women, all right? So women will, you know, want the whole emotions to be seen, okay? Men tend wanting to hide something. Maybe it's discomfort, maybe it's the whole biology of men. But I think it got to do with that as well. But that itself, we have to understand, to accept that at the same time, overcome when it is disadvantaged to us. What do you think, Sparkson?
I think that that may be true, but there's a reason behind it. And that is because we men, particularly in the West, because, you know, in the West, boys were raised with, you know, a lot of adventure and activities and sports, right? And so that's how they bond. That's how they develop brotherhood, you know, that team spirit and things like that. But at the same time, boys, you know, are raised with this, you know, notion that, you know, they shouldn't express a lot of emotions, especially the negative ones, like sadness and things and fear, okay? And they need to put up a very strong, you know, bold, courageous front and things like that. So this, all these characteristics, you know, someone gave it a name and it's called the man box, okay? So the man box is basically a stereotypical characteristics of how a man should be in order to be manly. And this has resulted today in what is called toxic masculinity. So I think that it is not something that's hardwired into men's brains. So men are not meant to behave like that, okay? But because we talk about it so often, we have seen it happen so many times, we have accepted it to be true. So I want to challenge people's thinking that this is not true, this is not natural, okay? And it's harmful for men, all right, to continue believing it, continue to think that way, and say, well, this is how we are made, you know, and so we just got to continue doing that. And if you can find, you know, something to add to it, then no, it's not how we were made, all right? We are all human beings. We have all the similar or identical needs, emotional needs, social needs, and, you know, besides all our food and water and fresh air, we also need connections. We need belonging. We need an identity and things like that. And so, we are no different from women, except that we're just told different things, okay? And it's time that we dispel those kind of, you know, misconceptions, like the man box. We need to break the man box and set men free from that man box and help them to move into something known as the healthier version of masculinity or manhood.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Parkson. I understand very much, right? But the reality is, these are learned, right? Behavior. You know, children see what their fathers do. and you know, we see what other men do, and it becomes a belief, it becomes a reality, right? And I know, I understand where you're coming from, that we can change that, right? To not be in that box, in that assumption that we cannot be emotional. Men, when they come together, they cannot be open to each other. In fact, I think the whole idea of a friendship, right? Later we probably talk about the good health effects of friendship. You know, how friendship actually will bring a lot of mental wellness and even physical wellness, all right, to us. Okay, so I think there's a need for men to understand that we need to get out of that box, all right? Don't feel, when you feel uncomfortable, all right, don't think that you have to be that way, you know, slowly, you know, move to a bit, feel a bit of discomfort, but be rest assured that the other men, probably when you start, you know, wanting to be friends, because friends is about talking to each other and sharing things that you don't share to other people, right? That's one of the definition, simple definition of friends, right? But if you don't start being open, you still be, you know, that you have that barrier, you know, you behave like what the other people want you to behave, and you're not your natural self, then there's no meaning in being friends, right?
Yep, that's right. I think friendship is something that takes time. You know, I just met a guy who is actually in his 30s already, not married, and he told me that he has no friends. I said, no friends? I'm sure you have a few. He says, no. And so he basically came to me asking me to help him to develop friendships, you know. So there are people, not many, but there are people who are, you know, to that extent where they have no friends, you know, and it's so important to have friends, especially as you grow older. And this is something that is happening all over the world, in America, Western countries, and even in Singapore, and particularly for men, you know, from the time they get married, all right, your number of friendship actually is cut by half, in the sense that you have less time to keep in touch with people. You have less time, you know, to spend time with the guys, you know, or go out with your friends and do things together, because now you have a family to take care of. And by the time you are 40 or 50, you know, that number is half again. And so by the time you are 50 and 60, you know, the stats today in America is that an average guy would have one friend.
Yeah, and I also read this podcast about, they call it the recession, friendship recession or something. And it's based on research in America. I'm not sure in this part of the world whether it's the same, but I think it's moving there, all right? Where you're saying, that's what you're saying, people in the past have more friends. I mean, because of technology, and I think I want to mention this, having online friends through social media, okay, is not the same as having...
Definitely not the same.
Real physical friends that you meet, and you know the person, you regularly meet the person. I mean, you can have thousands, 2,000, 5,000, you know, or 10,000 friends on Facebook or Instagram or followers, but that is not what we are talking here about friendship.
That's true. That's true.
And I think you were right that there are different levels of friendship, right? Some friendship is, I mean, at level one, probably you just, it's acquaintance. Probably some people you meet at work, you know. I mean, you're there because of work, all right? And beyond that, you don't do that. Then second, maybe you do things together. I mean, outside work, you know, you enjoy doing things together. And maybe the third one is where, you know, you really like each other such that you are able to share things that you don't share to other people, because you feel the trust and you feel that this person are able to mirror you. You know, mirror you and like you. You know, I don't think people who hate each other can be friends. So liking is very important. And I think sometimes this is what it's all about. For us, if people were always disagreeing about things, doesn't mean that they cannot be good friends with you. Okay, mm-hmm. But I think if you disagree for the sake of disagreeing, then I don't think it's good for friendship. But I think doesn't mean that when you are good friends, you should always agree with each other. Because I think true friends will be the person who tell you the truth, all right, about yourself. And sometimes the truth is hard to take and difficult to accept. But I think that is what true friendship is.
That's right. I think friends is, you know, it's not just a person who you can call upon and rely on when you need. You know, a friend in need is a friend indeed, as the saying goes. But a friend is someone you feel safe with and you trust each other's intentions, right? And, you know, your friend, like you say, you know, may say something that hurts you or hurts your feeling, but you've known this person long enough to know that, well, I believe and I truly know his intentions are good. Okay. And yeah, he was just speaking the truth in love to me. And so, that's fine. If it was someone else, I think I would, you know, look at it very differently. So that's what a real friend is. And that takes time to nurture and to reach, okay? And because it's so labor intensive, I think we all can admit, right? Making friends is labor intensive. You really need to invest a lot. And that's a high risk. Risk of being rejected, risk of being betrayed and all that. And I believe for those reasons, a lot of guys just choose the easier way out, right? Well, I don't need friends, you know. I will just spend more time online on Facebook and you know, feel accepted in that way. But of course, today on social media, you can get harassed, you can get, you know, canceled and things like that. So there's even there is also risk on social media, all right? So I think seeing all these, you know, and kind of weighing the pros and cons, I think it will still be, in the long run, better, more beneficial for our sanity to make real friends, all right, in person rather than just having 1,000 or a few thousand friends online.
Yeah, touching a bit on the health and how, like, having social connections can improve health. I mean, this is proven, all right? Apparently, research shows that it lowers even blood pressure, even lower BMI. So I think I need more friends. And can live, some people say, more than 20% longer. So, you know, but why? What happens when you have friends? I think this is something which, the secret of having friends. You know, you are able to see beyond yourself. All right? Sometimes we need to see the mirror to see ourselves. We cannot see ourselves. And I think that perspective is enriching to me. You know, when I speak of this, I really have my goosebumps. You know, sometimes when I sit down with good friends, I realize sometimes they don't directly tell me, you know. And maybe they don't intend to directly tell me, but I get it, you know. This is something I want to hear. You know, but sometimes I feel that I hope that you don't mean it, you know. But end of the day, it's how you want to take it, right? If it's the truth for you to hear, doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, but I realize that when you are with people who you trust, people you can really share your real concerns, and they know you well, all right, not to hurt you, they will tell you in a way that I think is, as you said, safe, comfortable, and do not want to hurt you. And I think we need to really take care of that. Sometimes, you know, people do lose friends, good friends, because they are being too, you know, tough. and that doesn't help, you know. That will help to people stress. And I think we need to understand everyone has their own way of, you know, of changing their lifestyle, you know, changing their ways. You know, we cannot impose, even though we really love the person. You know, we need to be patient, you know, and understand where they are coming from. Yeah.
You know, I was Googling last night, or was it the night before, looking for men's group in Singapore. Number one, I just wanted to know whether any existed. And I found one. There is actually a non-profit organization called Men's Group. Mm. Okay? And they have about 250 members, surprisingly. So they meet every week, okay, at a certain location. So I joined them, you know. And wow. So I'll be joining this men's group and see what happens there, right? And so when I was kind of filling up the form, online form, there was one, you know, blank that says, "What's your reason for joining the men's group?" So I simply put there to make more friends. And that was an honest answer, right? That is an honest answer. I feel that I need to make more friends. I know many people. Many people know me. I think more people know me than I know them because I do workshops and all that, right? So sometimes on the streets, people say hi to me and say, hi, where did I know you from? And then they'll tell me, oh, I attended your workshop or talk or something like that. Yeah. So many people know, more people know me than I know them. But would I consider them all as friends? Well, not really. So I do fall into this category where, you know, there is a friendship recession in my life. And so I need to find ways of expanding my circle of friends. All right. And hopefully out of this wider circle of friends, there will be a few who can become, you know, close friends.
Yeah, I think it's important. I remember my own father, all right, because my father, I mean, my mother passed away before my father did. Both of them passed away already. But, I mean, they have a very strange relationship, you know. They quarrel a lot, all right. They argue a lot, all right. But, you know, when they need each other very, very much. They're so close to each other. That's why, you know, maybe that's why they quarrel a lot, because they meet each other. They're just good friends without them knowing it. So when my mother passed away, my father was really lonely because he realized that his best friend has gone. No, so he went through some kind of depression. And I think we need to understand, and many of us still have elderly parents and so on. You know, when they grow old, they become more in need of social connections. Because really, when you are really retired, you've got nothing else, you know, no work, no proper schedule and so on and so forth. You need some kind of foundation in your life. So for that 3 years, he doesn't even want to come out of the room, you know, and even meet us sometimes. But what happened after that 3 years, he began to find friends. You know, the coffee shop friends? And these become his best friends. You know, people of his age, people of maybe 10, 20 younger than him, but people who really he feels make him feel important again, make him feel that, you know, they are listening, you know. So, you know, when he passed away, his friends really come and visit, and, you know, I do not know them well, but they seem to know my father very, very well, you know. And I think I'm very glad that he passed away very happy, having overcome his depression. But I think one thing I want to note here is that I think we need to take care of elderly parents, you know. Don't assume, all right, that they are the same as when they are before. When something has been lost in their life, be it their life partner, or be it jobs, or be it that just normal daily schedule, they may fall down to that depression because suddenly the pattern changes. And not everyone can deal with that easily. And certainly my father had gone through that, and you know, and I saw him, and I was glad to see him overcoming it. Yeah.
Speaking of depression, you know, I came across a book recently called Lost Connections, written by Johan Hari. He's actually an English guy, but, you know, very unusual name for an English guy. So he was writing about his own depression, his own experience and journey in depression. And he went around, you know, asking different doctors about, you know, why am I depressed? You know, I've taken this medicine and it helped for a while, but, you know, after that, I just go back into depression again. And then, you know, they would prescribe and they would give him all kinds of different advice. And he's tried nearly, you know, everything they've told him. But still, he was not able to come out of his depression. And so he began to do this research and spend a few years, you know, talking to all experts all around the country and all around the world. And finally put all that he has learned in this book. And why he entitled it Lost Connections is because he's conclusion is that the reason a lot of people, in fact, I think he would even go to the point of saying depression, the main cause of depression is the loss of connections. Okay, it's not because of hormonal or chemical imbalance in the brains. Okay, so he lists 9 reasons for depression, and out of the 9, only 2 of them are biological. Okay, genetic or, you know, certain chemical imbalance. And so when it's genetic, there's probably nothing much you can do, at least now, because, you know, genetic engineering is still in its early stages. The other 7 is something you can do about it, because it is things like lost connections with yourself, lost connection with your family, lost connection with your work. You know, you just don't find meaning in work anymore. And I can't remember the rest. So out of 9 reasons for depression, 7 of them are things you can do something about. And 2 of them, well, you can do some, but maybe not a lot. Okay. So in other words, he's saying each of us, whoever is in depression, can get out of it on your own just by having reconnections. That was very interesting.
Yeah. I think it goes back to our topic, right? For friendship, okay, we take it for granted, right? We always take it for granted. You know, like anything, when we lose it, then, we tend to feel it, you know? I mean, I have friends who used to be very close friends and they go overseas and, you know, suddenly, we used to jog together, we used to just call each other and meet each other for breakfast and suddenly it's not around. I feel the emptiness, right? So, as you said, you know, don't be depressed, all right? Make an effort to find another friend. There's always someone who you can connect with, who will connect with you, who will probably want to reach out to you. And I hope you don't go to the extent like, with all due respect, the Japanese are really good in many things, right? In many of their lifestyle or discipline, you know, and so forth. But for some time already, I know that they have this service called Rent a Friend. Okay, that for those people who really can't find friends, you can pay someone to be your friend. So people are asking, is it a fake friend? You know, so apparently it's not that straightforward. Okay, for these people, they it's a job, but they must really like, you know, to meet new people. I mean, frankly, they must be genuinely love their job lah. Otherwise, you know, it's gonna show, right? If you're really doing it out of just for money. You do it because of that alone, how to be a good friend, you know? So I don't think anyone can just qualify or can think that, oh, can I?
I think I can because I'm a good listener. I think I've heard this story before, you know? So you basically pay this guy to, you know, for example, you're walking every day, you're walking from your office back home, okay? So maybe that's like a 20-minute walk. So you hire this guy to walk with you, and along the way you just talk, okay, like you are unloading, you know, de-stressing yourself, you know. So it's better to be talking to someone than to be talking to no one, because people were looking at you, hey, who are you talking to? You're talking to no one. They might think you're mad. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's what you're referring to, right? So I don't mind, you know. Actually, I like talking to strangers. In fact, today, coming on my way to the office, I was at a bus stop, and there was this old Malay man walking very slowly down, a few steps of stairs. And I said hi to him. I said, "How are you? Please be careful," you know. And then eventually, he sat down at the bus stop, and we started chatting. And I learned a few things about, you know, he used to live in Tampines and then he moved away to somewhere else, and now he's moved back with his son in Tampines and things like that. So I like meeting new people. I like meeting strangers, even if it's just for one time. Okay, I feel refreshed, and I feel that, you know, maybe I'm also helping this person not feel alone. The difference is I don't get paid.
Yeah. And same experience for me this morning, you know. So same thing, you know, I just saw this person, he give me that, he just, that look that, I want to talk to you, or, you know, say hi, you know. So then it can become a conversation, you know, that, you know, we're waiting for something anyway. Instead of looking at the phone, you know, talk to someone. And I think it does make a difference, you know, you make a person's day maybe, all right? Maybe in the conversation, that person, you know, you help that person just to be happy for that day, why not? You know, but of course, I think the thing about renting a friend, or I mean, itself is a business, right? I also heard that in China, even on a wedding, you can hire people to just make it seem like you have so many friends. So, I mean, it is really fine line. You know, I think if you're doing it out of you want other people to think a certain way, then that will happen. You know, people will think you a certain way, you have a lot of friends. But I think at the end of the day, it's about you feeling genuine about things, you know, and I think if you need someone to talk to, all right, there's always someone who willing to listen. We just need to get out of that bit of discomfort space, go into that discomfort zone and try. You know, I think when you say that some people don't have friends, it's because maybe of trauma or previous experience, bad experience they have. So it's not always like that. You know, and I think it's a matter of a bit by bit trying to change. Our habit will definitely help. You know, it won't hurt. Yeah. And maybe talking about just now, you're talking about the men's group. I'm quite interested also because I heard it happened in other countries. What do they do?
I do not know yet. Okay. Yeah. When I join them, I'll let you know. Interesting.
For the podcast I heard, the US, right? They were saying that, you know, this man, so this guy started one, you know, group, and then it become many, you know. And different groups have different activities. Some of them just, you know, they just sit and do something together. For example, they are good in, you know, woodwork. You know, then they do woodwork together. Some of them, you know, common interest in sports. You know, then they talk about sports whole day. You know, and but this thing about men, when they come together, there need to be an activity, not necessarily a physical activity, but an activity. What do you think?
Yeah, I think men are more drawn by a very clear agenda, a very clear objective, so that they come, they feel that they have accomplished, you know. So yes, whether it's you know, fishing, for example, so they are fishing and, you know, things like that. I don't know, it could be a way of, you know, just you know, in case you come together and you have nothing much to talk about, well, you can focus on your fishing, that kind of thing, right? Yeah, but my observation, you know, because I have tried gathering groups of men together, guys, you know, and all that. What I'm, even for myself, you know, if you invite me to a meeting, I'll ask, what is it for? You know, how does it benefit me? Is it going to be really time well spent? Okay. So if we can answer these few basic questions, all right, maybe not all, but just a few of them, then I think men will be more willing to give it a try. And then if at the end of it, it really meets a need, then they will come back for more. All right. Yeah. So I think that's maybe somewhere, something we can start with. You know, the place to start is to give them an agenda, be very clear about your objectives, and make sure that, you know, your program, so to speak, really accomplishes the objectives. Otherwise, they will say, well, I've just wasted my time.
Yeah. So again, it's to be very organic, lah. I think it's difficult to sometimes make it so formal, lah. And it may just kill it. But again, some people just think that, yeah, you know, I want to come together and make my time worth it. But I think the investment of time has to start first. That means it may be not worthwhile for a start, but it's maybe that's the, you know, when they say about group dynamics, right? There's the forming, norming, storming, norming, you know, and achieving, you know. So same, you know, when humans come together, there's always that jostling for, you know, I need to know you better. I need to know you, where you're coming from, your, you know, a bit of yourself, you know, before I start talking to you or working with you or doing things with you. So that, as you said, is an investment that needs to be done. Actually, for us adults, right, I think friends, I mean, children, I think easy, lah. You know, they probably just want to enjoy life, you know. They don't question so much, you know, generally speaking. You know, so it's more like not so much pretension, okay. But once we are adult, right, we have, you know, maybe have things that have gone through life, and maybe we are afraid of certain things, of bad experience and things that happened to us in the past, so it may not be as easy. But I think it's just we need to be proactive, and I think I really applaud you, you know, Paksen, for you to take that step, you know, and really go to these groups. You know, I'm still looking forward to such you know, to learn also, and see where, you know, we can go beyond our comfort zone sometimes.
That's true. Yeah, I guess with age my skin has grown thicker, so I'm okay to meet new people, you know, and yeah, rough it out with them.
But well, the reality is, you know, when our children are small, they're always hanging around us, you know. But when they're grown up, like both of us, all right, you know, I still have a young 15-year-old still clinging to me. But just all time, you know, that friends are more important than daddy, you know.
That's true. Yeah. So very soon we'll be empty nesters, you know. So it's time to have our own friends once again.
Yeah, it's a big issue. This happiness, right? Yeah. This happiness, I heard, is a big issue. You know, elderly people suddenly just, you know, pass away at home alone, getting more and more common. You know, so I think there's a need for us to encourage, you know, what we are saying here. You know, important to have friends, important to build that social connection, so that we can never know. It may just save our life. Yeah.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, nice talking to you.
Yes. Nice talking
to you. Okay, we'll talk again over coffee next time.
All right. This is the WADT podcast, and thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe so that you will not miss any episodes. Share the link to this episode with someone you think that will benefit from it. We want to know what you think of this episode too. Please feel free to share your comments on one of our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also email wearedads2@gmail.com if you have a question or need help. Till next time, this is Hafiz and Paksan signing off.